Καλώς ορίσατε στο Overplay Show Powered by Novibet εδώ στο Opus Inner Pleasure στη Λιφάδα. Special guest episode σήμερα. Έχουν μαζί μας ένα παίχτη που δεν ξέρω ακριβώς πώς να τον παρουσιάσω. Θα το κάνω με έναν αμερικάνικο τρόπο. There's a sniper in the building. George Papas, thank you for coming on the show. Really appreciate your time. What's going on, man?
Yeah, what's up, man? I'm happy to be here. Got a couple days off, chilling in Athens, seeing my peoples, you know. Why not come on the show? I'm happy.
It's kind of old school. I respect it, but I don't really like it. How do you diss me like that? You know, I'm a Man U fan. You come on the show wearing that.
Nah, I mean, I think everybody in Greece at this point knows I'm a ride or die Liverpool fan. I was picking out something to wear today, and I saw in my closet, you know, the sweater. My girlfriend got it for me for my birthday.
I'm kind of jealous. It's old school. It looks like, I don't know how she found it, but it's really cool. Yeah. I respect it.
I don't know.
It's not something that's, you know, from this year. If it was, I'd ask you to change. But let's start with that. Talk about your, you know, you being a fan of Liverpool. What's the story behind that?
Nah, well, yeah, I don't know how she found it either.
This is kind of crazy.
She rocks
respect.
For that. She rocks for that. But it's funny because, so, I mean, growing up in America, you kind of play all sports as a kid growing up.
AYSO and all that, yeah?
Yeah, so I played a little soccer and you know, growing up, so I always loved soccer. And then one day, I want to say it was like August 2014, I just turned the TV on one Saturday morning, and Liverpool was playing a game. I'd never watched Premier League, never. Just saw Liverpool. I saw like Daniel Sturridge, Raheem Sterling, Gerrard, Coutinho, and I forgot what team they were playing, but they were just
destroying people.
Destroying them. And I was like, I like this team. And ever since then, I've watched as many games as I can. I've slowly grown as a diehard Liverpool fan. And it's been awesome. I love it so much. I had no prior knowledge to anything Premier League or Liverpool. I knew Champions League, but, you know, that really got me into the European
soccer. Last 10 years are nice for you. They're not nice for me. I don't think we won the Europa League and maybe a domestic cup. So I'm not going to talk about this much more because last league we won, I think, was back in 11 or 12 with Sir Alex still being our coach. So let's move on from that. Let's go to you playing Prometheus now. You're playing more minutes. I saw you at Oaka a couple weeks ago. I saw you the other day at Sef. It seems like you're more comfortable within the role of knowing that you're in the rotation getting minutes. Talk about the experience from going to a team like that and being able to show your talents on the floor.
No, I mean, that was the bottom line, to be able to show that I could play basketball. You know, when I first got to Olympiacos, you know, not many people knew me. And then, you know, somehow, some way, the fans and I gained this crazy relationship. But, and you know, it's awesome, but I still never really got to show, you know, that I'm a basketball player. So the move to Prometheus, that was really the bottom line, just to be able to show I could hoop and prove to myself. And, you know, it's definitely been tough. You know, like you said, a transition like that, and you know, knowing you're in the rotation, when you first make the move, it's like my confidence is still high. I'm like, I could play, but just the adjustment of going from a year and a half of not really playing, and then now all of a sudden you're playing, you know, whether it be 10 minutes, whether it be 20 minutes, still a crazy adjustment that you don't really think of. You just say like, oh, I'm about to get minutes. I can show I can play now, but it's still a crazy adjustment. And you know, there's been downs, there's been ups. You know, but I think I've definitely, you know, shown a little bit, and I still got a lot more to show. But, you know, I try to just take it one day at a time. I don't worry about next week. I don't worry about the next day. I just worry about today. What can I do to get better? What can I do to show that I can hoop? What can I just do to win the day ultimately? And then if I could win today, then I could worry about tomorrow after I win the day.
Let's talk about the Olympiacos here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing year. You guys are one shot or one stop away from the Triple Crown. Talk about the experience of being at a club like that. Are you from a family of Olympiacos fans?
No, I don't come from like a family of Olympiacos fans.
Okay.
I mean, it's funny because, you know, there's a picture that people see that I've posted of me wearing an Olympiacos jersey when I was like 8 or 9. So one time my dad was coaching my older brother and I, and we had an AAU team back in the States, and we were looking for jerseys, and my dad just got a bunch of like Olympiacos jerseys. So we just wore that in
AAU. Oh, wow. So the whole team was wearing Olympiacos
jerseys. Like me, my brother, our friends. So that's where that picture comes from. We were just wearing Olympiacos jerseys in like travel tournaments. So, and then coming to Olympiacos, it was crazier than I thought. You know, going from, you know, a small college in New Jersey to being on, you know, a team as hot as Olympiacos at the time, coming off the Final Four. And then the year that Olympiacos had last year, just a crazy experience to have as your first year out of college, really out of the States. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, as a kid, I've, you know, traveled to Greece in the summers with family and stuff. But, you know, my first experience living out of the States in Greece, my first professional experience with that Olympiacos team, it's just like, I really can't put into words what it was like.
So the team, there's like a curse, quote unquote, where if you're first in the EuroLeague in the regular season, you don't win the Final Four. Even though y'all dominated the Greek league, you won the Greek Cup, Genoa sweep against Panathinaikos, and was it 13-14-1 against them? There's still like a bittersweet taste after the final. So I got to ask you, from a competitor standpoint, how does it like, okay, we were great, but we didn't win the EuroLeague. When you weigh it down, is it a plus or is it a minus the way the year occurred?
Me personally, it's a plus. I mean, obviously for Olympiacos as a whole, you know, you look back at last year and you're like, how do we not win this and that? But it really should be a plus in general, just because, you know, it was really a truly historic year.
And the quality of basketball. I feel like yeah, a lot of hoop fans, even if they support Panathinaikos, they really liked watching Olympiacos last year.
The basketball is beautiful. The year Sasha had, it's just everything. You know, even, I know he's on Pana now, but Slu's game winner at Fenner.
That was crazy. Just, I was there. I was there for that.
Just absolutely crazy. You could go through every game and just like talk about a moment that, you know, probably every Olympiacos fan could remember from that game. And it was just a hell of a year. And, you know, it just so happens we were on the other end of, you know, one of the greatest shots in EuroLeague history with Yui's, you know, game winner. But it was amazing to be a part of.
Let's talk about Coach B. He's taking a lot of heat lately. There's a lot of people, you know, attacking him, quote unquote. Talk about being a player for Coach B and in the tough spot that you were trying to earn your minutes and, you know, being a fan favorite whenever you get called up. Whole arena going crazy. Talk about what it's like to be coached by him, not what we see on television.
You know, so on television, you know, people always ask like, oh, is Coach B crazy? You know, because, you know, the antics you see in the game, but that just comes from strictly emotion. And I feel like a lot of Greeks could relate to that just because, you know, Greeks are emotional people.
Absolutely.
But, you know, off camera, Coach Bartzokas is, you know, extremely calm. You know, in practice, he's calm. He's brilliant basketball-wise. You know, everybody knows that. You know, he's easy to talk to. You know, I have nothing but good things to say about him. You know, because his calmness in practice, you know, that's why we're so good. Okay. Because, you know, we're able to communicate. We're able to know exactly what he wants, exactly what, you know, we want from him. And, you know, that's...
So he's a player's coach is what you're saying?
I would say so, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about your former teammate. The ritual ended after your transfer to Prometheus. Let's talk about Thomas Wagab, one of the best perimeter defenders, if not the best perimeter defender in the EuroLeague. It was funny watching you play against your former teammates. I got to ask you this question. Is he as physical in practice as he is during the game? Is he beating you up in practice too?
Probably more physical in practice than in the games.
Okay.
You know, there'll be times I get the ball and he'll be guarding me in practice and I'll be trying to come off a ball screen and I just like will not be able to take a step towards the ball screen. That's how physical and strong he is. And, you know, I've definitely learned a lot defensively, you know, just watching him. Obviously, he's my boy, so he's taught me some things and tried to help me. But even just watching him live every day, you pick up on little things that he's so good at. And sometimes it's not even stuff that you could do. It's just like the way he processes the speed of being on defense, the reads he makes. It's like, that's his own mind. it's not, you can't really teach his, you one know, reaction.
One step ahead? Yeah. One step ahead?
Okay. Sometimes even two.
Okay. Okay. You talk about the relationship you have with the Olympiacos fans. Tell me about what kind of messages you get from them and how much an American can appreciate that type of connection with the fans. I had a former Panathinaikos player, James Giz, tell me that you're never going to experience things like the Oaka or Sef in Greece. Do you agree with that? And talk about the relationship with the Olympiacos fans.
I mean, yeah, the relationship, like I said earlier, I mean, it kind of just happened. You know, I get questions sometimes like, oh, you know, what did you do? What did you say to get them to like you? And I was just kind of myself. You know, I'm a goofy type of guy. And I guess they respected, you know, how just like outgoing I am. And, you know, my love for being on a team and, you know, supporting my guys. And they kind of reciprocated that energy towards me. And, you know, it's awesome. And, you know. Yeah, it's like you go in the Greek league, especially you go to games at Oaka, you go to games at Sef, especially when they play each other, and it's crazy. And then, you know, say you go to another Greek league game where it's Olympiacos versus, you know, say Karditsa.
Okay.
And then it's just all these Olympiacos fans just because just how big the clubs have been historically. And it really, it's just amazing to see. And it was amazing to be a part of. And, you know.
All right, let's start. Well, the final eight, it's set. Baskonia beat Virtus. Greek teams have a great chance to make it to the final four. Let's go series by series predictions, and then who makes it in the final four? It's going to be pretty obvious. Let's go Real Madrid, Baskonia. You think Baskonia can give them a run for their money?
I mean, listen, it's the EuroLeague playoffs, and like you said earlier, the one seed curse. You haven't seen anyone break that in a while, but you know this Real team is very special. You know, with how dominant they've been all year, but you know, I think Real probably would have wanted Virtus just because you've played Baskonia numerous times. You know, you might get sick of playing them a little
right,
bit.
Right.
Baskonia might be able to, you know, game plan a little better just because of how well they know each other.
Okay.
So, you know, it might be a little tougher matchup, but I still think Real will handle it. Maybe three, maybe four, maybe, you know, one game at Baskonia. Marcus Howard goes off for like 30,
absolutely,
40.
Absolutely.
If Maneke is healthy, you know, that might, you know, change a little bit. But I think Real wins in three or four.
2-7, we got Panathinaikos against Maccabi. I know Wade Baldwin's your boy. Have you seen the beef with Kendrick Nunn on social media? They're like...
Yeah.
I mean, it's all fun. Fans always try to give everything a little extra. It's only fun. They're only playing around. I know he's your boy. 2-7. Give me a prediction for that series. Who do you got coming out?
Unpopular opinion. I think Maccabi's going to win in four. You know, Wade is from Jersey. I grew up in Jersey. He was on, you know, a great St. Joe's Metuchen high school team with, you know, Karl Anthony Towns. And, you know, so growing up watching him and then seeing him in the EuroLeague, it's kind of like, you know, just like the Jersey connection. So I'm kind of pulling for them a little bit.
Okay.
You know, obviously I played for Olympiacos, so I might be a little biased, but I think it's going to be a closer matchup than people think. I think Maccabi's talented enough to go into Oaka and win one.
Okay.
And then, you know, not just Pana, any team that has to go to an empty stadium in Belgrade and play a hot Maccabi team that's been playing in that, you know, empty environment all year. It's tough. It's very tough. And if Maccabi's able to handle business there, then I think they win in four. But yeah, the beef is funny because, you know, it's just, you know, a bunch of confident dudes that think they're, and, you know, rightfully so, they're amazing at what they do. You know, Nunn said one thing, Wade thought the other. And then someone like Mike James, who statistically is the best.
Yeah, right. Nobody can call him.
It's funny to see. And then like 2 days later, Will Clyburn's talking about I'm the best three man. It's just, it was all funny. But, It's funny that, you know, there was, you know, beef there and then now they're matched up against each other. So it's going to be really, really fun to watch them go at it.
I'm here for it. Let's go to 3-6. This is probably my favorite series. Unpopular opinion for all Greek fans and all my boys. But I think Monaco Fener is my favorite series.
I feel like you could flip a coin and like just I feel like it's definitely going to go to five.
OK,
because they're just both so talented.
OK,
Monaco is, you know, they can score the ball. They're so athletic. But then ever since, you know, Saris came in the picture, Fener's just kind of been clicking, you know, Hayes Davis dropping 50.
Right.
Calathis, yeah. Calathes looking like he, you know,
turn back the clock.
Yeah, turn back the clock a little bit, dropping dimes all over the place, you know. And then you got dudes like Dorsey and Wilbekin that could, you know, put up 20. You know, it's going to be a shootout. I think it goes to five, and then that game five.
You know, there's no road team has ever won a game five. I feel like this year is going to be the year where this stops. Yeah. Streaks are there to be ended. Yeah. So I feel like this might be the year where we see somebody win a game five on the road.
I mean, I want to like give Monaco the edge just because of the home court. Because that is, I don't know if you've ever been. It's a tough place to go. It's a tough place to play.
Okay.
Olympiacos, the last time they won there was 3 years ago in the playoffs. I think,
right.
Game three.
That was after they won here. And then,
yeah.
I mean, all the games have been close with Olympiacos and Monaco. So it was going to be, I felt like it was going to be a coin flip. Let's go to the 4-5 Barca against Olympiacos. I've been pretty open about saying that I feel like Olympiacos is going to win. They got a coaching advantage. They got a mental toughness advantage.
Yeah.
Obviously, your opinion is probably more important. So let's hear what you got to say about this.
Yeah, series. I mean, I know there was a lot of debate going on between the Olympiacos fans whether they should win or lose that last Fener game.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, who would it? It's kind of pick your poison, either at Monaco or at Barca. I personally think at Barca is better,
mm-hmm,
matchup wise. I know they you know went 0-2 in the regular season. But I just think matchup-wise, Olympiacos can go toe-to-toe with Barca and maybe wear them out a little bit just with how deep Olympiacos is. Just the athleticism and physicality of Monaco might kind of match ours. So I feel like it's definitely better. It's not no walk in the park.
Absolutely not. Barca, absolutely not.
I think it's definitely better. And I think Olympiacos, you know, if they steal one at Barca, could close it out in four. And even if it goes to a five-game series, Olympiacos for the past 2 years in a row has been able to win in game fives.
Okay.
So
experience,
you know, led by, you know, like walk up and, you know, Moose, they've been here.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be able to have that experience, you know, even if they have to go back to Barca for a game five, like you said, that streak of an away
team. It's going to end at some point.
Yeah. I feel like this is a year for, you know, Olympiacos will be able to do that. And then once you get to the Final Four, anything could happen. Doesn't matter if you've been playing, if the year as a whole has been, you know, above or below your expectations. If you're in the Final Four, like last year, one shot could change everything.
You mentioned depth. A lot of people have been talking about, oh, Olympiacos is a deeper team this year. Coach Bazikas has been saying we're better than last year. A lot of people question it. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I don't really know how I feel. Olympiacos is missing a EuroLeague MVP and a three-time champ in SLU. Yeah. What's your opinion on that? Like, do you feel like the depth might be the difference this year? I mean, nobody saw AP having the year that he's having right now. I mean, I kind of did too, but I don't want to flex on it.
I actually got interviewed before the year and I said Alec Peters, EuroLeague MVP.
Oh, wow. No, I didn't call that. I didn't call that.
Someone looked at me like, whoever I said it to looked at me like I was nuts.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't think he's going to win MVP, but obviously
he's top three power forward in the league.
That's what I'm saying.
My receipts is Nico Zervas, Olympiacos reporter for Sport FM, one of the best in the business. Second ever overplay show. He came on. I said, you know, Peters can take Vezenkov's spot. So that's my receipt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm glad it's not something on the phone or a text message.
I mean, obviously I might be a little biased because that's
okay.
Big bro.
Okay.
But you know, even, you know, it's hard for someone to be playing behind the EuroLeague MVP in Vezenkov because, you know, last year, you know, rightfully so, you kind of just resort back to Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, Barzogas Kaiza has a system of, like, you know, five in, five out, you know, the first quarter, second quarter. But, like, last year, especially towards the end, it's kind of like, all right, we're just going to lean on Sasha. We're just going to lean on like Slew's experience. And that's just kind of what brought us there among, you know, the other factors. But now that we don't have that, it's kind of given everybody else opportunity to show that they could hoop like Alec has been able to show that he's a hooper without Slew in the picture. Cannon has showed that he's a freaking baller.
Mm-hmm.
And then other dudes, you know, kind of have the opportunity and, you know, the courage to be able to perform and show that we're not just hanging on two guys' backs. You know, it's the whole team. We're going to go with the whole team. It's not just one, two, three guys leading the pack. We're all as a group. And that's why I think, you know, Olympiacos has a better chance this year.
The thing is that at the end of the day in the playoffs, you need somebody to break down the defense one-on-one. that's, I feel like that's where Nigel Williams-Goss is going to have the opportunity. He's trying to be the closer of this team. Olympiacos played a crazy style of basketball last year, but Okocie Tudy's defense took it away in the playoffs. And that's where you need, you know, the big players to step up. And I feel like come playoff time, we're gonna have to see who's gonna be that guy. It's gonna be Isaiah, it's gonna be Goss. But at the end of the day, missing a EuroLeague MVP has to mean something, man. Like I can't buy into that this team, even if they win it, let's say Olympiacos wins the EuroLeague, I can't buy into this team is better when you're missing a talent like Sasha. Speaking of Sasha Vezenkov, Kings lost last night. You know, rookie year is always tough. You hit the rookie wall. That's what they say. What do you think about Sasha, man? You feel like he still belongs to the NBA? Do you see him wearing Olympiacos or somebody else's jersey next year, maybe? What's your feel on this?
I definitely think Sasha could play in the NBA, 100%. I think the situation he went into might not have been the best. I personally didn't follow as much NBA this year as I did last year, just because I kind of hit a wall at like midnight, 1 a.m.
Right.
And those games, especially Sacramento games, don't start till 5 a.m. Greek time. So I kind of just look at stats in the morning. I don't really get the full grasp of like how he did, how any team really did. But I think Sasha definitely could hang in the NBA. His, you know, his talent is out of this world. You know, rookie year, I'm sure there's been a lot of Olympiacos fans wanting him back. And I'm sure, you know, part of him wants to come back home where he's growing up. But he knows he can hang, and you know, I don't know the answer. I don't know what he's gonna do, but you know, if he, you know, does another year and, you know, tries to hang, I think it's definitely gonna be a lot better than, you know, this year went for him. Obviously he went through a little bit of an injury, but you know, I think, you know, Sasha's still relatively young.
So. He absolutely is. Yep. You know, it's weird because I always talk about the dynamic of someone who's lived in the States their whole life. I spoke about Kendrick Nunn when he first came here. It's going to take some time for him to adjust to the lifestyle. You know that firsthand too. I feel like that's the same the other way, especially when we talk about a city like Sacramento. It's not LA. It's not New York. It's not Miami, right? So I feel like people always take the human aspect of a transfer like that, of the adjustment that you need as a human being to the lifestyle, to everything that changes, the culture, the weather, the food, everything. It kind of flies like under the radar as an important aspect to the human being, because a basketball player is a human being before a hooper.
No, absolutely. And I'm kind of going through that myself. I mean, first off, on Sasha's part, you know, you've grown up in Greece, you know, the majority of your life.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of build a home. You know, you got your family here. You got all your friends. You speak Greek. It's like one of his, you know, main languages, especially, you know, in this south part of Greece, right. It's kind of like a paradise. And then you go to Sacramento, you know, it might be a little different. I'm kind of going through that, you know, going from Athens.
It's the Patra. Yeah. It's an adjustment
too.
Yeah.
You kind of just fall into like, you know, what you're comfortable with. Like, you know, there's so much to Patra that I still don't even know yet, because I just kind of, I find one or two or three places that I'm comfortable with, and I just keep going to those places.
I'm like that too, but hey, παιδιά στα σχόλια, we need restaurants, we need bars, we need everything. We need where do we get a haircut. Γράψτε μας στα σχόλια πού να πάει ο George στην Πάτρα για τα πάντα.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Slu. Slu, big decision. I feel like it's kind of similar to what Spanoulis did a few years ago. He's taking Panathinaikos from second to last to second in the EuroLeague, you know, along with the other huge transfers and Coach Adaman. What was your first reaction to the transfer, and what do you think about him in a green jersey right now?
I mean, first reaction, I was kind of like everybody. I was like, "What?" but you know, it kind of made sense just because I feel like, you know, Slu has a family now. He has a daughter. I think
he has a son coming on the way.
You know, to take your family, and you know, there's a lot of rumors of him going back to Fender. Take your family and move him back out the country.
Yeah.
You know, like we talked about the human aspect. From a human aspect, it kind of made sense. You know, he wanted to stay in Athens. He wanted to stay in Greece where he has his family. You know, obviously, there's a lot of different opinions in Greece about his move. But, you know, when you take, you know, the Olipana rivalry out of it, it made a lot of sense for him. Okay. Obviously, when you get that type of money thrown at you, mm-hmm. it's kind of hard for you to say no. But, you know, I just kind of look at it as a human aspect. It's like, I get to stay in Athens. I get to be with my family. Mm-hmm. I don't have to move my family out of anywhere.
I'm the guy. I'm the absolute guy.
I'm the guy. Now, I'm going to be loved by half of Greece, and the other half of Greece that loved me is now going to despise me. But it's kind of just like, you know, on the court, they'll boo me, you know.
Boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo. You know, off the court, I'm still living a good life with my family. And, you know, I got a family to grow. So, you know, from that aspect, I feel like regardless if you're Ole or Pana, you should, you know, kind of look at it through that lens and be like, okay, you know, I get it. Because, you know, that's how I looked at it. Because, you know, people, you only look at Slu on the court and what he could do. But, yeah. You know, I was in the locker room with him for a year, and he's kind of, you know, he's just a regular guy, just like all of us. He just wants to, you know, be happy and, you know,
he wants his minutes, man. You can't blame a guy for wanting his minutes.
Yeah. You know, Slu obviously wanted to show that, you know, he still got it and could still be the guy. And, you know, I know there was a big debate about that and, you know, some butting heads, but, you know, I think Slu's done, you know, a pretty good job of, you know, showing that he can still hoop. But, you know, whatever decision he made is, you know, up to him. And I think, you know, Pana fans obviously benefited from it. And, you know, Ole's still doing what Ole does. So, you know.
Everybody's happy, man. Yeah, we got two really, really good teams. I don't know why anybody would
Both teams are in the playoffs. Right? Now it's fun to watch. Instead of, you know, Ole winning 15-1. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, you know, Ole's undefeated against Pana in EuroLeague, but then in Greek League, yeah. You know, now it's you know, it's really fun to watch.
From a fan standpoint, I absolutely prefer this version right now.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the national team. You wore the Greek national team jersey. You wore your full name on the back, man. Respect. Hats off to that. Let's talk about the Greek culture implemented in the States. I always tell friends and everybody that, hey, in some things, they are more Greek than us. They know more about tradition. They can Greek dance. I mean, I don't even know if in elementary school here in Greece that they do Greek traditional dance. So was George Papas doing the Sirtaki and the Tsamiko and all that for the church out there in Jersey?
Yeah, I was when, you know, like you said, it's like a huge community out there. The Greek Orthodox Church, I grew up in one, you know. I was, you know, I had the whole outfit on. You kind of had to do the dance if yeah. you know, went to church and stuff. My biggest regret is dropping out of Greek school because, you know, people kind of, you know, look at me and they're just like, oh, you know, I get a lot of, you know, comments, maybe calling me a tourist. That's what people call. And, you know, that's fine. I can take that. I don't care. Right. But, you know, my blood is 100% Greek. Mm-hmm. Just because I don't speak Greek doesn't mean I'm not Greek.
Right.
I grew up in the Greek church. My yaya and papu on both sides came from Greece. One from Thiva, one from Karpanisi. I've been to both places. I've been to the islands. I've been everywhere in Greece. I am 100% Greek. I just can't speak it. I grew up in the Greek church. I grew up, like, I have a bunch of Greek friends. The Greek community in the States, not just where I grew up in Jersey, every Greek community all throughout the States, it's really like, it's just like a family. It's like you said before, it's like
the culture is out there, man.
We kind of, if you're a Greek American in the States, you kind of like walk around saying like, yeah, I'm Greek.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. Like we kind of like take a lot of pride in being Greek out there just because we feel different, just because we feel like we're closer together than everybody else.
Okay.
Then that's just how the Greek church is built over there. And I love it. I wouldn't change. I want my future kids to grow up in the Greek church just because I had so many great experiences and I'm still trying to learn Greek. So my kids will be able to speak Greek.
Okay.
It's just hard. It's
a hard language.
It's really hard.
It is.
And then I hear true Greek speaking it and I'm just like, how the heck am I going to be able to?
We're yelling and we're saying everything really quick.
Really quick. Right? It's like I'll hear my parents speak Greek. You know, kind of slower and be like, oh, I feel like okay, I can pick it up. Yeah. And then I'll hear Greeks have conversation and I'll be like, what?
Yeah, that's the same with Spaniards. I saw Toni Kroos interview on one of the social media. He's like, bro, I speak great Spanish. I've been here for 10 years, but that was way too quick. Yeah. You need to slow it down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I'm 26. I'm kind of still in the phase. I graduated college 2 years ago. I'm kind of still in the phase of like, I don't want to do anything study wise.
Okay.
Just because for 5 years,
That's a lot. That's a lot.
So I did take a couple lessons this summer with my girlfriend. She's kind of more motivated. She has no Greek in her. She's kind of more motivated to learn Greek than I am.
Come on, man. That sweater says a lot. You gotta put the work in. Put the work in. Let's go.
But I took some lessons and it gave me such a headache, but I want to learn it so bad. And I feel like that'll kind of give me a little more respect from, you know, Greeks in general.
Okay.
For kind of just looking at me as, a Greek American that came over here and took a Greek spot. When in reality, I am like 100%.
No, you're 100% Greek. Yeah. No doubt. So national team, we kind of have a gap in shooting. That's what you do. You are a pure shooter. How motivated are you to be a part, if not now in the final phase of the Olympics? We got a lot of guards in the latter part of the career, like Slu and Kalathis. I think they're both 1990 like me, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know how long they're going to be around for the national team. How motivated are you? And what was the experience of being coached by a EuroLeague legend, maybe the greatest ever, Vasilis Fanoulis?
You know, when kids grow up, they're kind of in the driveway saying like 3, 2, 1, picturing themselves in like NBA, their favorite NBA team. There's been multiple times that I'm in the gym saying like, oh, George Pappas wins, beats USA in the Greek jersey for the Olympics. So it's always been a dream of mine. It's always been a big dream of my dad to see me wear Papathanasio on the back of my jersey. And you know, last year was tricky. I was super honored, super blessed to be able to get the opportunity. But, you know, just going back to, you know, not being able to play a lot for Olympiacos, it's kind of like I wasn't really able to show that I could hoop. And, you know, back in the national team, I did get opportunity, but I just wanted to be able to show more because I really do feel like I could help bridge the gap into the next generation.
Okay.
Especially, you know, like you said, with how well I could shoot the ball. And I know this summer would be a long shot for me to make the team. But, you know, it would be an honor to be able to play in the Olympics, you know, not this year, the next Olympics. But then with any Greek national team outing, whether it's Eurobasket, anything, you know, that's always been a dream of mine. And I'm always working towards it. I'm always working. But, you know, right now I feel like the focus for me should just be worried about, you know, like I said earlier, just worried about today. Worrying about my Prometheus gig now, being able to help Prometheus be great, being able to help me prove to not only just Greece, to Europe, that, you know, I'm a hooper. I can hoop.
And then you belong in the EuroLeague. This is where I want to get to. You feel like this is where George Papas shows the world that, hey, I'm a EuroLeague player. Get me in the EuroLeague again.
Yeah. So, you know, going to Olympiacos off rip, you know, was eye-opening just because, you know, I've watched EuroLeague in the past when I was in college with my brother. And you kind of sit there when you watch on TV, you're like, you know, someone confident, like a hooper. It's like, I could play with these guys. And then you get there, you realize how different physically it is. You gotta go to a whole nother level. And that's what I tried to do this summer. And, you know, I gained 5 pounds of muscle. I felt really good. And coming into this year, I really had a goal to be able to crack the EuroLeague rotation. Unfortunately, you know, things just weren't working out. Dudes were going down left and right. We brought in a bunch of other people. And, you know, every day in practice, I feel like I can hang. I feel like I'm able to form. You know, I got 5 minutes during a close game in Milan. And, you know, I felt like I got a nice layup. I felt like I created a shot. You know, I defended Siobhan Shields. You know, obviously, I have a lot more to learn, a lot more to grow from. But, you know, just playing against, you know, dudes like Thomas Walkup, guarding someone as fast as, you know, Shaq McKissick every day, I feel like I could get to that point and, you know, be a EuroLeague player. I feel like I am a EuroLeague player, but, you know, obviously I still have a lot more to prove, you know, right now.
Okay.
In the Greek league still. There's steps for me to get back to the EuroLeague, which I'm taking. But, you know, my confidence, I definitely know I would be able to hang.
Excellent. That's good for us. We as I said, we need a shooter. It's kind of weird because as Greeks, we produce really good players in the same positions. Like, we always had good goalies in soccer, but we lack strikers.
Yeah.
So from my standpoint, I want my country to do well. And I know that a shooter, we miss pure shooters. Like, even Tyler Dorsey, he's a scorer. Like, he's a three-level scorer. He's not a pure shooter like you are. So I know that we could definitely use your skill set. Moving on to the latter part of the show, this is kind of my favorite part, to be honest. I always ask my guests to give me a cool, spicy, or funny story. You can give me two if you want. I'm all here for it. Let's get to my favorite part of the show, man.
Yeah. So, you know, like you said, Thomas Walkup's my boy, you know, and you know, the fans love our little ritual, which I cannot tell you about.
Okay.
And
I didn't ask, to be fair.
The fans will always do the, I'm not going to do it because I only do it with Thomas. Always does it with me. They do it to me and I just kind of point at them with a thumbs up. Okay. I'm like, I'm not doing it to you. That I only do it with Thomas. But, you know, after my Kansas dunk, my famous Kansas dunk back, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I got a DM from a guy on Twitter saying legend. That's all he said. Thomas Walkup.
Wow. Back then?
Back then.
That's crazy.
I DM'd him back like, yo, thanks, bro. Like, and this was when he was at Zalgiris. I'm like, thanks, bro. You know, been following you in the early, big fan, whatever.
Okay.
And then, like, throughout the years, like, if the dunk ever pops back up, you know, they send it to me laughing or something. And then I signed with Olympiacos. The next day, he DMs me. He's like, is this a joke? Like, are we serious?
are we teammates?
So we've kind of had, like, you know, a little small relationship since that dunk, just off of him DMing me legend. Never speaking to each other, never seeing each other in person. And then next thing you know, Thomas is looking at his phone, seeing, you know, Olympiacos signs George Pappas. And then, you know, I get there. He kind of takes me under his wing. That's big bro. And, you know, that's just my brother, you know.
I have saved bookmark a TikTok here. 3 years ago, Monmouth George Pappas stole the ball down 55 to Kansas, dunked the ball, got an and one, and screamed, I don't give a fuck, to whoever would listen. George Pappas, I still don't.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that's still the case right now.
Yeah. I did what I did and I stand on it. You know, long story short, basically, you know, we were at Kansas and, you know, we've played a lot of high major games in my mom's career, but Kansas, you know, was different because it's, you know, the history at Allen Fieldhouse and all that stuff. I think they were number two in the nation at that time. Our coach was telling us all these crazy stories the night before, how he was taught, he played for Dean Smith at UNC, how Dean Smith was taught by Fog Allen, Allen Fieldhouse, who was taught by James Naismith. He's making all these crazy historical connections. And I'm sitting there and he's like, this is a game you tell your grandkids about. I'm like, all right, bet. And, you know, they're up 40. I don't care. If you guys are beating the shit out of us, beat the shit out of us. They're windmilling on us up 40 with 5 minutes left. I'm like, all right. Like, and then people talk about sportsmanship. Yeah. I don't care. I'm like, yo, if y'all are going to run it up on us, don't expect me to stop playing too. I saw my opportunity and I dunked it. And it wasn't an AM1. I thought it was an AM1. That's why I was screaming.
Okay.
I was like, this really tried to block my shot.
Right.
And then the ref was like, that's a tech. And that's where you see me saying, I'll be fun. I still don't. It's all fun. Something to tell my grandkids about.
Absolutely. Isn't that what coach said?
I did exactly. And I make jokes about it with Coach Rice to this day. I'm like, hey, I'm just doing what you told me, coach. I'm just following your rules.
Time for last part, semi-favorite part of the show. This or that. Got to give me kind of quick answers. All right, ready?
Yeah.
Friends or Seinfelds?
Friends.
Good. I was going to kick you off the show if you said Seinfelds. All right. Somebody's got to give me the answer I want. Drake or Kendrick Lamar?
Drizzy.
I knew it wasn't going to be you. Cheeseburger or Greek souvlaki?
Cheeseburger. Sorry.
No worries. Dinner with Steven Gerrard or LeBron James?
Oh, man. I'm going to have to go with LeBron James, even though I'm a diehard Liverpool fan.
Part owner of Liverpool.
Still connection there. Maybe LeBron's going to be able to get
Steve.
I don't know if Gerard can get LeBron to dinner, but maybe LeBron has the strings to get Gerard to dinner too. But, you know, LeBron is, you know, just greatest basketball player ever. You know, him, Michael Jordan, people debate. I don't like saying who's the best. They're both up there. So being able to sit down with LeBron would be crazy.
Okay. Life on the line, one shot. You can't take it, obviously. It's Alec Peters or Isaiah Cannon.
We've had debates about this so many times.
I asked Thomas Walkup on the show, And he was like, come on. Honestly, to me, if it's a static shot, it's a pretty easy answer.
It's catch and shoot Alec Peters. But if it's like one-on-one, create your own shot, Isaiah Cannon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. All right. We appreciate your time. Yeah. I'm going to let you off the hook. Hopefully, we can get you back on the show. I'll follow you whenever you're out here in Athens. I'll try to come say what's up.
Yeah.
Good luck out there in Prometheus. And keep doing you. And you'll be back in the EuroLeague soon, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time, brother.
Yeah.